Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
And we are rocking footy from ANZ Stadium. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Brett Reid, Tony Squires with you. And for the first time this evening, Bill Harrigan joins us. Bill, how are you going?
Tony, very good.
Thanks. The greatest referee of all time.
Indeed. I've been watching the grand final replays over the past few days.
He's in every bloody one of them.
Every
year he turned up.
Have you got them or do you already got them on recorded?
I was just lucky enough to do a few.
Yeah.
And, I've got them recorded.
Yeah, good.
Billy, how did you get ready? Like, you know, morning of the game, you get nervous. Players are different, you know, with, there's 17. How did you get ready? Did you go for a walk with somebody or what?
No, same thing, just did things around the house. Wendell and the kids were young, so you run around looking after them. I preferred the afternoon game, the 3 o'clock kickoff, because I didn't have to wait so long. And then after that too, you had more time to go out and party after the game, but just the same.
Did you get the touches in a huddle before the game and like hands in and like get them all pumped up, or was it more individual? Like you look after your line, you look after your job. I got my thing in the middle.
I was just all prepared separately, and I went out and warmed up separately. I didn't go out in the middle of the field and jog up and down the field. Always in the tunnel.
That's prime time.
And
apparently you used to say to them, "Don't let me down, boys. Don't let me down.
Don't let me down. And only speak if something's broke. Otherwise, shut up."
I love it. Oh, we've got plenty of time to hang out with you, Bill, over the next hour. Right now, let's go inside ANZ Stadium with Ben Dobbin. Dobbo joins us. G'day, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I'll tell you what, this temperature is coming down real quick. It was 17 degrees around about 15 minutes ago, and it is dropping rapidly. Lots of wind in here swirling around, but all the talk is, as it has been all week, is will Cooper Cronk play? A bloke who's part of Triple M is with me, and arguably one of the greatest ever halfbacks to play the game, Peter Sterling. You believe he's going to play?
No, I was listening to Brent Reed's mail earlier. I'm guided by that, so I'm just assuming once I heard Reedy say that he's out there, and he guaranteed it too, so I'm just assuming that's the case.
How much does it affect a side, though, Sterlo, when your playmaker in Cooper Cronk, who is the linchpin, hasn't been able to train this week? What kind of effect is that going to have on the side?
Well, it's affecting me, so I'm assuming it's going to affect them. I just want to know one way or another. Look, obviously he's a main man for them. They bought him for this end of the season. They bought him to win a premiership, and if he's on the field, those chances are enhanced. Touches the football plenty of times, especially in key moments, back end of sets especially, and late in the game. So somebody else has to step into that role. Luke Keary did a great job of it last week for 40 minutes. Whether he could do it 80 minutes against a side like Melbourne remains to be seen. But look, I'm like everybody else. I'm just waiting with bated breath to see whether Cooper takes his place. And if he does, then all of a sudden the Roosters, they firm in the betting.
Yeah. Who are you going to tip, though? Yeah. Who are you going to tip, mate?
Well, I was tipping the Roosters, but I like Melbourne. I think it's taken that both these sides are going to defend supremely well. That's what they base their games on. They're the first and second most successful defensive teams this year, and this headset's playing as something awful. So I actually think it'll be about. Here we go. Yep. There we go. Love working with professionals. If you can find one up there, guys, can you send it down? I think it'll be whoever attacks the best and is prepared to maybe take a few chances, who kicks well, and all of a sudden, you know, especially if Cooper doesn't play, then it probably swings back towards the Melbourne Storm. I see more points in them, so I've actually sort of, my tide's turned in relation to who I think might get the money. I think it'll be the side that can actually score three or four tries, and I think Melbourne might be able to do that.
Hey, Sterlo, what's impressed you about Brodie Croft? There's times in that final series where he beats Sam Burgess off the right, he puts that kick in for Vunivalu. So what's impressed you about him?
I think the way he bounced back, Wendell, played five games, then basically was put back into reserve grade, and spent, 3 months down there, and he came back in and he'd obviously worked hard on his game. He'd thought about his game. He was the traditional number seven that Craig Bellamy wanted in his team at that stage. And I think he's come back in and done a great job. He tends to complement Cameron Munster, who plays with a bit more freedom. So with Brodie playing that, as I say, more traditional style game, but he does run the ball really well. But he's sort of more intent just to allow Cameron Smith to dictate things, to manipulate the defence, and when he's needed to get the ball out wide, he's in the right place. But, I just think the fact that he had to go back, think about his game, and he came back a better player for it.
Hey, Pete, Cooper doesn't play this afternoon. You're the coach of the Roosters. Who do you play at seven?
I play Luke Keary at seven and Ryan Madison alongside him. They did that three times this year and thought that looked quite good. Once Sean O'Sullivan was dropped out of the 19, we knew he wasn't a consideration. I don't think they would go Radley. I certainly wouldn't be moving Latrell Mitchell any closer. So to me, he's the obvious choice. And with the way that the Roosters approach their game, I think that defensive body of Ryan Madison probably, you know, suits what they're looking to do a little bit more than anybody else.
Still, you played a heap of grand finals. Do you have a favourite?
A favourite grand final?
Yeah.
The first one, absolutely the first one. 1981, the first grand final Parramatta ever won. We've won them since, but we'll never win it again for the first time, and that was really special. So I was very fortunate to achieve a number of things in the game, but nothing higher than being a part of that 1981 premiership winning side.
Everything worked out correctly, Sterlo, Billy Slater running out there this evening?
I believe so. Yeah, I would have been gutted for him if he'd have missed a grand final for that tackle. Look, I know that it goes against the grain in relation to, you know, shoulder charges and the rulings that have been handed down. And I think that, you know, could be a little bit of a problem when the next shoulder charge is up to be defended, especially one in a similar fashion. But looking at it, you know, as a player who knows what it means to not be there for a grand final, especially in your last game, I would have hated to have seen Billy Slater miss a game, let alone a grand final, for that tackle. Not that long ago, you know, that would have been the play of the game to save a trial like that, and you know, would have been lauded for it. But I'm all into player welfare and player safety, but I'm glad Billy's playing tonight, and it might cause problems down the track, but it doesn't tonight.
Still, I don't know if you've ever been the, you know, the sideline eye. Just tell us what's going on in that the interstate game there next to you.
Yeah,
the Bulldogs lead 30 points to 12 against the Dolphins. I was talking to Scott Sattler earlier, who I've got a great rap on as a judge. He said that the Dolphins were absolute specials, so they need to score 19 points in the last 13 minutes for that to happen. Yeah, exactly. But outside of that, I've got Sam Thaiday standing next to me in a red velvet jacket with shorts on, mismatched socks. I know that Dobbo's... And Dobbo, he just keeps reaching for the microphone. I'm not giving it to you. Get away, Dobbo. Leave me alone. And I do want to point out, I did watch... I was surprised when you asked Billy Harrigan about, you know, did he have a word to his touch judges. Yeah. I didn't even know Billy... referee with touch judges. He did it all his own, didn't he?
He didn't
need touch judges. Billy, not our
budget,
Billy.
We've missed you, Sterlo. Get that little head of yours covered in a hat or some kind of scarf. It's be cool in there.
Have a great grand final night, guys.
Yeah, now, before we go, we have got a bloke who just retired from the NRL this year, and he is wearing a velvet jacket and shorts. I don't know what that's about. Sam Thaiday, thanks for being with Triple M NRL.
Just being different, mate.
Really?
Yeah, just staying true to myself.
Mate, you know Cooper well. If you're a betting man, do you think you'd play?
You might lose your money if you put some a bet on it, I think. I think he's smart enough to know that if he's a liability out there, you don't want any liabilities out there in a grand final. But I know that he's probably done everything he can this week to play, but I don't think he's going to play.
Mate, you finished your NRL career. You won a premiership. You lost one as well. You won State of Origin Series. You won Kangaroo Series. What's the memory for you that means the most here at this place?
Yeah, it's very, very hard to go past you know, winning that grand final in 2006. Had some fantastic Origin games here as well. This is a fantastic stadium. I'm glad to be here on such a great day, actually. And I get to do a bit of a parade around the field and wave to the fans that have been here and supporting me for many, many years now. So, it's good to put a full stop on my career.
Over to you, boys.
Yeah, Sam, there's been a lot of talk this week about the halfbacks and the fullbacks, but you know where these games are won. It's through the middle. And in your opinion, mate, who's going to get the better of these two packs? You played against them both this year.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a forward battle. You know, I'm really interested to see what Dylan Napper brings to this Roosters team. He'll be fairly filthy about, not being there to help him get to this point, but he'll have a point to prove today. And look out for Jesse Bromwich today as well. I think he's going to be instrumental and really lead that forward pack of the Melbourne Storm team.
Hey, Sammy, it's Del, mate. Felice Kaufusi, he's really come along the last couple of years. Mate, what do you reckon has been the biggest improvement in his game?
I think he was really good, actually, the other week against South Sydney. He took on those Burgess boys, come up with a couple of big tackles on Sam Burgess, and really lifted that forward pack. I think he's worked really hard at his trade. People thought he wasn't going to be as good when Cooper left, and Cooper gave him a lot of tries while Coops was at Melbourne. But I think he's going to continue to grow and get better as a back rower, and he'll continue to play for Queensland and Australia going forward.
Sam, there's always a lot of talk about if an injured player plays, other sides try to target them. You played out there on an edge for a while, and how hard is it? I mean, it's easy for everyone away from the game or away from the playing group to say, oh, you know, they need to target this guy, they need to get at that guy. But from a player's perspective, how hard is it to actually get out there and aim a target or put a target on someone's back and try to get at them as much as you possibly can?
Yeah, unless that player's playing in the middle of the field, it's really hard to do, to be honest. They're hard to find because you can move around in defence a fair bit and you can hide yourself. You know, the only way you can kind of do that is through illegal plays, and you don't want to see that. But that's why I think Cooper won't play today. If he's not 100%, he doesn't want to be a liability out there for the Roosters. And he's probably helped them out as much as he can in the video sessions. He knows Melbourne Storm probably the best out of anybody, and he'll be giving him all the tips and advice he can to make sure they can get a win.
And Sam Fardy, you get to do that lap of honour with the other retiring players, which is just a great moment. Will it be there one last shimmy for the fans?
Yeah, a little twerk or something?
We'll see. I do have the dancing shoes on, so there might be a little something. You never know.
I look forward to that, Sam Fardy. Congratulations on the amazing career, and thanks for having a chat with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks, Dobbo. We might go back into Dobbo in the next half hour or so as well. This is Triple M, just rocking the NRL.
Triple M footy.
At ANZ Stadium, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, Brent Reed, Tony Squires, and Bill Harrigan is with us. And speaking of the great man, it is time for this.
All rise for the Honourable Judge Billy.
Honourable.
Gentlemen, this season comes to an end. We've had 192 games, competition games. We have had on-field, off-field dramas, which we have in every season. It wouldn't be a rugby league season without it. We had New South Wales go into a State of Origin series where they won the series finally, and it was refreshing to see the coach and the way he prepared his team, and also that he opened his team up to the media and to the supporters right throughout the Origin campaign. And after 192 games, we come to the end of the season and we have got 8 teams going into the semi-finals with 2 points separating them. We then go into a final series where we had a spate of field goals and some of the games we ended up by a 1-point win. And that brings us to today's grand final, which I think will be similar, with a field goal separating the two teams with the Storm winning that game. But after saying all that, and in my final Judge Billy, just this season, okay. Kurtz, this season. Okay. My final Judge Billy, I rate this season as simply one of the best.
Oh, nice finish, Billy.
Beautiful finish.
One of the best what?
One of the best seasons ever.
Ever? In your time in the game?
Yeah.
Really? Based on what? The results? The way that it's been? But, I mean, you had a massive issue with the way it was refereed early on the season.
I did, and I think we came back from that. That's one of the things that I probably left that out when we started the season with a spate of penalties, a clamp down, and then fortunately the NRL halfway through the season said we've got to find a balance, pull back, and they did. And we ended up with a competition that close. There's 2 points.
Yep.
And in the semi-final series games, have been brilliant. And as we heard Todd Greenberg say earlier, that the viewing audience is up. I just think after that, based on that and the way we went through this season, it's simply one of the best we've had.
Anthony Seibold.
We can do that again.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Nah,
simply one of the best.
Nah. There we go. Anthony Seibold joined us a little bit earlier. He said that the refereeing actually changed a little bit going into the finals. Yeah, has it been consistent through the finals for you?
It's been consistent through the finals, and I think what they did when they went into the finals, Tony, was they decided we're going to try and referee the game like Origin and do the final series like Origin. I was critical of the first round on some of the performances there with the way they blew penalties or non-existent in Ashley Klein's game where he didn't blow penalties in that first week of the semis. But in the end, the games ended up that close, and we were talking about the games and not refereeing performances, and that's what we were after. And so after that, you know, seeing that, I just got to say, well, in the end, they did a good job going into the final series. Well, performance right across the season, it was up and down. You know, we had the spate of penalties and trying to bring the game back to where it should have been because it had been let go for 5 years around the rucks and the 10 metres and the kick chases, all that sort of thing. And they tried to pull it back, but too severe, too quickly. And they had to find that balance. And so fortunately, someone in the NRL said, we've got to stop.
What do you want to see today, tonight, Billy, from the referees?
I want to see them referee pretty much like an Origin game if they allow, if the players allow them to put the whistle in the pocket. But what I have noticed in the semi-final series, especially with Jared and Ashley, is that they haven't got a big 10 metres. And when I say they haven't got a big 10, they set their 10 before the tackle's complete. When the tackle's completed and they get up to play the ball, they're only around 8.5, 9 metres back. You've got to go back 11 to 12 metres, let the play the ball finish, for the tackle finish. When they get up, you'll find yourself a good 10 metres back. If you're not, you're too far, you just simply step forward a step.
Is it even more important with the two sides that are so have such a defensive mindset? I mean, is it? What do you take out of the fact, Billy, that halfway through the season when Greenberg sent down the mandate to change, to take off, you know, whatever he had put on the referees at the start of the season in relation to the nitpicking, neither of these two sides were in the fall.
Yeah. They enjoyed the nitpicking. They enjoyed the clamp down because it suited their style. You know, just the way they play now. And they've opened it up. But I just hope that, because this is Ashley Klein's first game, never been in a grand final before. It's Jared Sutton's fourth game, but only one as the head referee so far. He did two in the pocket behind Matty Chechen and Benny Cummins. So he's still relatively new to this as well. I just hope they go out there, open the game up, get the sides both apart, and just let them run.
Bill, Cam Smith does get away with a lot in that ruck area and with the referees. If you were reffing against him, how would you handle it?
Against him?
Oh, no, yeah. How would you handle it?
Well,
yeah.
As I said, you know, if I had been refereeing, Cam had have tried to do what he does, he would have splinters in his backside from sitting on the bench for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They just let him get away. But that's not just this year. It's been over a number of years. And not just Cam too. There's been quite a number of players who are in the referees' faces and that. And you don't cop that. You just put them down. And once you start putting blokes in the sin bin, they start to get the drift that, okay, I can't speak to the referee like that, or I can't do that and get away with it.
Do you reckon they'll be gun-shy to use the sin bin tonight, Billy, because it's such a big occasion?
Yeah, they'll be gun-shy on the sin bin. They'll be gun-shy on the penalties. And that's what I'm saying. I hope they let the game run, but not to the detriment of the game where players are starting to get away with too much, where in a normal game, that would have been penalised.
All right, I think best Judge Billy of the season, along with the best Reedy Smile, has just been
one of the best. It was
absolutely outstanding.
It wasn't controversial, but Tony.
No,
we've still got
half. Always need to be controversial.
We can't always be controversial.
We've still got half an hour as we count down to...
show's not over yet.
The grand final we're outside ANZ Stadium. We are counting down to kick-off in the 2018 NRL Grand Final. The Melbourne Storm and the Sydney Roosters, it's about to happen inside. How far off are we, Reedy, in terms of the Roosters having to tell us whether or not Cooper Cronk is playing?
Yeah, they've got to tell us now before kickoff, Tone. So I think what time?
7:30 is it kickoff?
7:20 maybe.
7:20 I think is the official 6:20. Time.
I think they've pushed it to 7:30.
Okay.
We've got about an hour to go.
Okay.
An hour to go.
7:30 is confirmed. Okay. It's quite amazing. We're just talking before, Reedy, the level of secrecy surrounding what's going on with Cooper Cronk, isn't it? I mean, you can't keep a secret in Canberra. Politicians don't know how to do it. The Roosters have done it amazingly.
It's astonishing, Tone. It's astonishing given we've had helicopters flying over training sessions. Every journo in town has been trying to find out what the injury is, how bad it is, whether he's going to play or not, and somehow they've been able to keep it secret. And it's a remarkable job by the Roosters to keep everyone guessing this long, because this stuff doesn't normally stay secret.
So what about his teammates? You reckon they'd know now?
I don't think they probably know.
You don't think they know?
No, I don't think they would know the extent of the injury. I think, as Cooper said the other day, it's a need-to-know basis, and there's no real need for the team to know, because that just gives them opportunity, and not on purpose, but just, you know, with all the media that they've done, or the lack of, but they could have let something out of the bag, so they probably don't know, but they just know whether he's going to be playing or not. We spoke to Robbo on the footy show on Thursday night, and he said at that point on Thursday he knew who was going to play halfback in today's game, so they've been prepared.
Luke Currie's reaction, we think it's great, obviously. He said, I don't care if Cooper Cronk plays or not.
It's kind of hard to believe, though, that they would care deeply, given he has been the guy, this is the job he's been brought here to do, is to win this grand final.
Yeah, they would care. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has a massive impact on the way that they play the game, and especially for Kira to say that. I mean, because it affects what he does so much, you know, and the kicking game from the Roosters today is so important. And Cooper's a big part of that, especially off their back foot. And that's what Melbourne make you do. I mean, also knowing Billy Slater and the way that I think he really killed Cronulla last week, in the point where in the first half when they were really dominant, I think he almost caught every football on the full and got the ball back to their 40-metre line. So therefore, Melbourne were just attacking for that whole first half. It changed up a little bit in the second half. But if there's one guy that knows where Billy Slater's going to be as a fullback, it's going to be Cooper Cronk. And you really need to try and hit the deck. And that's what Billy's so good at, is getting to the football on the full and starting the sets off in such a positive way for Melbourne.
I mean, they will talk also, Gerds, about how it's like having another coach on the field. And he's been there all year. I don't know how you would go replacing that. You take that guy out on the biggest day of the year. He's basically missed, I think, has he missed one game all year, Cooper?
Yep.
And you're pulling that out of your side on game day, grand final day. Mm. It's impossible to replace that. You can't replace it any day of the year, but when you've got to fill that void on grand final day, I mean, it must be insurmountable almost.
I know that they're a year older and they've obviously, you know, got a little bit more experience under the belt, but if you have a look at their outside backs and the way they defend, don't forget last year in the prelim final, they went in, they took, I think it was Orbison and maybe Madison in to the centres. They didn't let these young guys play, and I think based on the confidence they have in Cooper to organise their defensive line as well, especially on the side in which he plays over on that right-hand side, where he's got, you know, young guys like Manu outside him. So there's a lot of elements to Cooper's game that they depend upon, and that's why you'd have to think if he's 80%, if he's 75%. And Sam Thido made a really good point there to the fact that it's really not so easy to get at players. I know everyone says, oh, look, you've just got to aim at a certain player and make sure you run a lot of traffic at him. It can also take you a little bit away from what you're meant to be doing out there if you start looking for players defensively. So it's not so easy. I don't know. I was thinking coming here today that he wouldn't be playing, but after you've confirmed that he is...
and read his mail.
And they also looked after him last week too. When he was, you know, he put his hand up and said, my arm's gone. I was watching him closely, and there was, about three sets of six where they had the ball and he never touched the ball. He just stayed out there directing his traffic and pushing the play. And then when they were in defence, he did. He had a couple of big blockers beside him. And he just kept backing away a little bit, let them come in to make the tackle. Mm. And if he needed to join in, that's when he jumped in. So they'll look after him that way.
I don't necessarily see the problem being the back rowers getting at him, because, you know, South Sydney, they play a game where, you know, they really try and control the middle third of the field, quick play the balls, generate line speed, and they didn't get to do that last week. The Roosters really shut that part of their game down, so they really didn't get tested on the edges. But if he plays out on that right side tonight, he's going to come up against Cameron Munster, and I think that'll be his biggest challenge, because they play that two-pass shift. They get the ball to Munster anywhere on the field, basically, and, you know, he's not as big as some of the back rowers, but he's just as strong, and he runs really hard, and he's really elusive. So coming one-on-one against a guy like Munster with a bad shoulder can make you a little bit nervous.
Yeah, look, we'll break the game down even further just before 6 o'clock. But while we're talking about individuals, just from you three gentlemen, have you got a Clive Churchill medalist for me? Bill Harrigan?
Yeah, I'm still going with the man that should have got it last year, Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith would be his first Clive Churchill, should he do it?
Yeah, I can't go past Billy Slater. I think your emotion might get Billy over the line with the judges, I think.
I'm going to go with Luke Keary. I mean, if the Roosters going to win, I think he needs to be possibly their best player and have the most influence on the game. So I'm going to go with Luke.
Do you think the crowd out there...
Dale's a great player. Fantastic.
Ryan Gerber
was talking at him too.
Just talking to the crowd. Well,
is he mic'd up, that guy?
No,
in the audience?
He's not mic'd up. People in Radio Land don't care about that. Okay. That's okay. They understand we are at ANZ.
He's enthusiastic. Can we get a mic down there?
Absolutely. Do you think the crowd, once he runs out there this evening, does Billy Slater cop a boo?
Yeah, no, I think
yes,
no.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The Roosters will boo him.
Of course they will.
No risk in the world.
Yeah, no. I'll give him a boo. They'll let him know. I mean, you know, if there's one thing the Roosters have in their favour today, it's the home ground. I mean, they're playing Melbourne, so there needs to be a dominant Roosters fan base here, you'd imagine. And
of course they would. They'll certainly boo him.
Who are the neutrals going for today, do you think? Because they're not exactly two of the most popular sides around. No disrespect to their fans, but
have a look where you are, Reedy.
I'm just wondering who the neutrals go for, Tom. Yeah, well, who do the Dragons fans go for?
They've probably gone for the Bulldogs in the ISB Championship just in front. The people here are going to tell us exactly who they're going for. We're going to break it down even further as we head towards kickoff in this 2018.
Gertz's mate's going for Melbourne.
Well, yeah,
he's a Bulldogs fan.
Yeah, but you know why? Because he's a Dale Finucan fan. I've got you, haven't I, buddy?
Yeah, you have.
I got you.
Stick all around. Right, Triple M, rocking the footy.
Triple M footy.
Yes, as the crowds start to flock into ANZ Stadium to see if the Melbourne Storm can make it two wins in a row. It will be their third consecutive grand final. Just a remarkable achievement from that club. Of course, they are up against the Roosters, another club that has dominated. These two clubs over the years have been phenomenal in their success.
It's really interesting. I spoke to Frank Panisi for the Melbourne Storm this week, and Wayne Smith, the All Blacks, former All Blacks coach, who led the All Blacks to, I think, the 2011-2015 World Cups. He led the Crusaders, the back-to-back Super 15 titles, and the Chiefs. He actually came and sat down with the Storm in the pre-season and spoke to them about defending titles. He said one of the things you've got to change is your mindset. The biggest thing is your mindset. So when you're a defending champ, you become the hunted. And he said it's about making sure mentally you're still a hunter rather than the hunted. And, you know, that Wayne Smith meeting they've had, they've met him again a couple of times during the year. He's become almost a mentor to the coaches. They call him the professor in New Zealand. He's so renowned as a coach. And that's one thing he instilled in this Storm side at the start of the year. Your mentality has got to be that you are the hunter. You are not the hunted. So it's worth the treat.
It was a slogan, I think, Billy Slater. Was it the Hunter 18 or something that he came up with on the back of that?
I think they might have believed that anyway, Reedy, the fact that they lost, you know, four or five really influential players after last year's grand final. They probably went into this year thinking that, they weren't the favourites at the start of the year. And given their form at the start of the year, where they probably struggled, took them 6 or 8 weeks, not unlike the Roosters, who both sides have really, they've really built a platform at the back end of this season to springboard into the finals, because their early season form was quite poor, to be honest.
It's funny, there's two sides got a bad rap, right, for what, you know, the past maybe a little bit with the Storm, but they've had 25 players in the past 3 seasons of Storm, the past 3 grand finals, including this one, they've used 25 players. Only one of those players has not made his debut at the Storm and been a regular first grader at another club, and that was Dale Finucane. All the others have come through the Storm system, or they've been recycled players from other clubs who are either reserve graders or, in Blake Green's case,
incredible, mate.
Blake Green was a journeyman in England. Yep. So, you know, they get a bit of a bad rap because of the salary cap stuff a few years ago, but the way they've rebuilt, and regenerated the past 3 years particularly, it's been remarkable.
Yeah. Right, and they're admired by the AFL community in Melbourne as well. I think that Craig Bellamy might have addressed the Collingwood team during the final series as well. And as the fans do flood into ANZ Stadium, we can also go inside there where Ben Dobbin joins us. G'day, Dobbo.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Full-time here in the Australian Championship, and the Bulldogs, they ran away with it over the Redcliffe Dolphins in the end. 42 points to 18, so that match is over. The Melbourne Storm players, will they have arrived? Few of the players out on the field, just looking at the surface at the moment, and I'm standing out here at the moment, and gee whiz, they've done a good job in managing this field this season. It is in real top shape with the amount of football that it's had on, rugby league that it's had on this year, looks outstanding. So we've got all the entrees are over and the main course is next, so the main game. So we're a little over an hour and a half away, and still we're on who will be playing number 7 for the Roosters. I was just talking to Josh Jackson a little earlier, the Bulldogs back row, and he said, mate, he's certainly going to play. And I said, why is that? He said, mate, he wouldn't miss a grand final. I don't know if he knows anything, but he was adamant that he was going to play. Still none the wiser here, though.
Obviously, he was just listening to Reedy's mail.
It's gone viral. Everybody listens to Reedy's mail, yeah.
Absolutely, Reedy! As the crowds go past, just screaming Reedy's name. It's quite just amazing the level of support he has here. Did both teams stay within the precinct last night, I think I understand?
Yeah, I think they stayed at the Pullman and the Novotel, I believe, the two hotels just over there.
So they've done a walk across and or the bus around, I'm not sure, but they've made it, as we heard. The Melbourne Storm players are having an inspection, having a walk on the field as we speak. All right, when we come back, we are going to dissect it. The big one, the 2018 NRL Grand Final, the Storm and the Roosters. Here we are outside ANZ Stadium, all thanks to Ream, Australia's number one, Ryan Girdler. Brent Reed, of course, is here with us, as is Bill Harrigan. My name is Tony Squires. Girds, what's going on with Reedy's mail?
Apparently, well, it's on fire.
To be expected, yeah. Tony. It's gone viral, yeah. But Peter Bedell's, I think, taken the credit for it, or someone else has got their name on it, so it's not... hasn't come out there under Reedy, who's delivered it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just to reiterate, what is that mail? Well, I know we're sometime off official announcement of what's happened with Cooper Cronk.
Not long.
Okay. So what is
Cooper Cronk has apparently been medically cleared to play. So basically it now becomes a decision between Cooper and the coaching staff as to whether he actually takes his place in the team. But medically, apparently, he's been given the thumbs up.
That is huge. All right, let's have a quick look at this game then as we head towards kickoff in this grand final. There's one name we actually haven't mentioned all afternoon. That's Trent Robinson. What an amazing job this bloke has done. Well, he's 17 years younger than Billy Ake. His record is extraordinary. Obviously, has that one premiership under his belt already. He's calm. He's intelligent. He never speaks down to a player. No. His job has been phenomenal.
He's changed a bit, actually, Tone, since he first came back and joined the Roosters from France. Because when he actually first came back, he used to come and have a drink with all the journos in the pre-season. He used to meet us at a pub in the city. Used to be very quotable. You could ring him up. He'd weigh in on anything. But in the past couple of years, he's sort of shut that down. He doesn't do that anymore. He rarely does sit-down interviews with any journalists. He's sort of, I guess, confined the message to basically the players. And, you know, that obviously hasn't affected his coaching record. His coaching has been as good as ever the last couple of years. But he's now got a mind coach working with him, a guy named Bradley Stubbs. He did a bit of stuff with Michael Maguire last year and the year before. But a highly intelligent guy, very intelligent guy, a real empathy for the players. His players love him. And I think that's a common denominator, isn't it, with most really good coaches. They have great empathy for their players, and their players have great love of them.
A lot of respect.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day, Reedy. And, yeah, he certainly does. All of his players, they were close. And I think that age thing often can help in that regard, you know. There's a real connection there because they are, you know, he's only, what is he, Robbo now? Is he, what, late 30s? Mm. 36?
Google it.
I think that, you know, obviously playing with guys like Cooper who came through the sort of the same era as him. So it's an interesting position, but he's a guy that whenever you speak to about the game, you get an education, and like you do with Anthony Seibold, to get these guys. And that's why it's so good that they do come out and speak to the media, because they're essentially speaking to the fans, their fans, and they educate us all on different parts of the game, and they think different ways than we do. So it's always very interesting.
You're right about that, Gertz. I mean, Anthony Seibold, when you sit down and talk footy with Anthony Seibold, and you're a layman, like, you know, you obviously played the game. I didn't play the game at all, to be honest. So when I sit down and talk to a bloke like Anthony Seibold and he explains to me how the game operates and works, it's just really illuminating. He makes it really clear, and to a layman, you can really... I suppose he explains the nuances better than any coach I think I've ever sat down and talked footy with. And Robbo's a bit like that himself. I mean, they're just high. Robbo's 41. They're highly intelligent guys. You know, they've done university degrees. Anthony Seibold was a lecturer.
Yeah.
They just get their message across really well. And Craig Bellamy, look, a different sort of coach, different era, different sort of guy, but... again, just commands great respect from his players. His players love him.
All right, gentlemen, we're about to go inside ANZ Stadium. Just in 5 seconds, who wins, Bill Harrigan?
Storm.
Storm wins. Goods?
Yeah, Roosters just.
Roosters just and?
Storm.
All right, thank you so much. We go inside as Triple M rocks the grand final.